listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Twice upon a time, there was a boy who died and lived happily ever after, but that's another chapter. A lot from her mother Bray with dirty dollars and beauty parlors and baby bottles and boldly balling parlors and street scholars that's majoring in the culinary arts. You know how to work the bread, cheese, and dough from scratch. But see the catches, you can't get caught. Know what you're selling, what you bought. Now so cut that big talk. Let's walk to the bridge. Let's meet me halfway. You may see some chillings dead off in the pathway. It's in the poor babies walking slowly to the candy lady. It's looking bad, need some hope, like the words maybe, if, or probably. More than a hobbly, when my turntables get wobbly, they don't fall. I'm sorry, y'all. I often drift. I'm talking gift. So when it comes to you never look the horse inside his grill. Of course, you know I feel like the bearer of bad news. Don't want to be it, but it's needed. So what have you? No question. Is every nigga with dreads for the calls? Is every nigga with goals for the fall? Nah. So don't get caught up in the parents. It's Outcast Equipment, not another Black experience. Hey, welcome to the Black Outcast podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Tuesday afternoon, ready to give you guys some podcasting. You can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, wherever you go and look for podcasts. Just we're there, okay? Google Play, Spotify, iHeartRadio, we're all over the place. Leave us 5-star reviews. We love those, and we read them on the air if they're nice. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport
Bullet
at Bullet Ball Extreme. Let's see, what do we need to get into to start the show? Feel like there's so much happening, not that much happening. I do know one thing, guys. I was listening to, was it a restaurant, and Bobby Brown's Humping Around came on?
Yes, it did. I was partying.
And I got to tell you something, guys. That is a gaslighting anthem. Like, that might be worse. If not, maybe not worse, but it's definitely up there with Shaggy's It Wasn't Me.
Mm-hmm. Because he was humping around.
He was absolutely humping around.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he didn't name the song Ain't Nobody Humping Around, because he was humping around.
Right!
He named it Humping Around, and if you saw the video, I mean,
yeah,
the pelvis doesn't lie.
The pelvis was humping.
The pelvis said, I'm definitely humping around, and y'all just gonna have to deal with it, okay? And he was, like, gaslighting so hard. He was like, when you love someone, it's like, wait, are you saying when you love someone, you shouldn't accuse them of humping around when clearly they are gumping around? Is that what love is to you, Bobby Brown? Because I think it's some bullshit, Bobby Brown. I think you just saying this to gaslight her to make her stop checking your phone.
Come on.
It was pretty terrible.
Now, this was before social media when this song came out. Come on.
Come on. And he had an attitude with it too.
Come on, he was angrily singing.
Mm-hmm. He was like, bitch, stay out of my phone. Like, it wasn't no nice.
No trusting.
You ain't got no trusting about you. That's
Come
the problem.
On.
So you out here thinking I'm humping around, fucking all these women on the side. No, no, no. The problem is you don't know how to trust people.
Nope.
Okay? That's the, you supposed to love me. Wow. Why am I calling around? Because you're not home, Bobby.
It's past midnight.
The fuck you mean why I'm calling around,
it's
Bobby?
It's 3 a.m.
I'm calling to see where your ass at. If you was
Did
home.
Did you die?
When you home, I won't be calling around. When you at the crib? Because I know where your ass is.
Was there an accident overnight? I don't know.
Somewhere humping around. It's not a game, Bobby. See, that's the problem. You think everybody a little fucking game with your motherfucking humping around town and shit. Now I gotta call all your friends and be like, Teddy Riley, is he over there?
Is he over there?
And no, he's not with you? Okay, damn. Well, let me call Ralph. Ralph Trasvan, is he with you?
Come on!
No? Let me call Johnny. Well, I know not to call Johnny. He's definitely not gonna be with Johnny.
Ain't nobody humping around.
Get up off my back. Save your heart attack ain't nobody humping around. Why is the song named Humping Around if ain't nobody humping around? I'm just saying. Don't pay attention to what they're saying now.
I know they're talking in the streets.
I know they saying they see me with other bitches.
My name is out here.
See, niggas just be talking. You know how people just make up lies like that all the time around faithful people? They be like, I mean, they probably got rumors about you, girl. I mean, if I had a dollar, if I had a dollar for every time somebody came over to me and said, oh, you know your girl out there cheating on you, humping around. Oh, man, but I trust you so much, I don't even worry about it, girl. So, I mean, if they say it about you, who knows what they say about me? You know what I'm saying? I'm Bobby Brown. Why are you yelling, Bobby? If you're not humping around, talk to me, call me. Come on!
Trying to win that argument.
When you love someone, you don't count their condoms. And you stay out of their voicemail.
When you love someone, you don't look at the lube.
You lose the game when you play that way. Oh, cheating ass nigga. What? When you trust someone, you stop following their car and don't worry about where it's parked at.
When you love someone, you don't pay attention to the license plate.
Right. I said that girl is my cousin. God damn. Man, I should make a playlist of all the gaslighting ass songs that men have made.
It is a lot of them.
Over the years. Jesus Christ. They're just so...
We got words for it now. I didn't know back then that's what it was called.
I mean,
that song still goes. I'm not gonna lie. One of my favorite bops.
It's a bop, but it's a gaslighting ass, like, wow, you really... This like the theme song to Love Hip Hop Atlanta.
Come on!
You really not gonna trust me just because I'm fucking other bitches? Wow.
Yeah, this and it wasn't me. Like, it's a long-ass list.
How are we supposed to have a relationship and you sitting up here worried about me having sex with other people and shit?
I mean, I know she pregnant and shit. I mean, I know it's mine, but how you know I'm cheating?
Jesus. What do you expect? I'm not a saint, okay?
I mean, I know you got a STD for me, but I'm not cheating.
We all make mistakes. Right, Teddy? We out of here.
No. My name is Brown. That's what they call me.
Wow, he even did the, like, first of all, okay, do y'all notice the head trip of he's saying all this in, like, third person?
Mm-hmm.
So he not even saying it like, I'm cheating. He's like, girl, I'm giving you some advice. Don't you know that if you press up on a man like this, he will just leave without you, girl? Like, you're going to lose your man. Then the other part of it is, but the chorus is in first person, okay? The advice, the verse, third person.
Right.
The chorus is, I'm not humping around. Okay, ain't nobody humping around. The other part of it is, he really said, girl, if you keep checking up on me to see if I'm cheating, you're going to make me leave.
I'm going to leave. Girl, you're going to lose out on the good thing.
You're going to lose out on all this cheating ass dick, girl.
Now, who's gonna love it.
Now, how you going to get HPV if I'm not around? Come on now.
All right.
You think you just going to get it on your own? Mm-mm. No.
You going to be gonorrhea free. What is this? What's going on, girl?
Bobby was out here. Plus, this video. I don't know if y'all remember this video. This video is only second all time in pelvic thrust per second.
What's number one?
Come on. MC Hammer pumps in the bump.
Yes! Pumps in the bump!
It's not even
close. That is number one. I was not ready for pumps in the bump.
Pumps in the bump is the motherfucking Serena Williams of motherfucking pelvic thrust.
It is a fucking thrust fest.
Like, two is so far away from motherfucking one on this one. Like, you got, this. That shit is the Bill Russell Championships of pelvic thrust for a second.
Yes, it is.
No one was ready for MC Pump Hell, to the Bone.
And that's the thing. Nobody was ready. You went from to Pump to the Bone. People were like, the fuck is this?
Right. We was like, oh, Hammer back. He got an album coming out. Good for him.
I know. You went for Hammer. Don't hurt him to that. I was like,
he was slinging the hammer in that joint.
No, you went from the pants too big that, you know, you probably couldn't even tell where the dick print was to, oh, here's all the print.
I feel like Hammer had some socks in there or something. I don't know.
I don't know what was going on.
Like he said, I guess that was something for the ladies, but it was so weird when it happened because, you know, for men, you know, we've always had these videos where even women that rap do sexy ass videos.
Right.
And they may or may not do it for the male gaze, but whatever. I mean, do it for however you look. Serena Williams had her ass out on Harper's Bazaar.
And I don't care.
I don't like some, I saw the picture and was like, sit on my face. And somebody was like, well, it's great to know what men think. And I was like, yeah, I'm a man. And she knew what she was doing when she took them sexy ass pictures and said, look at this thing that Alexis is knocking out the park. And I said, you know what? Yes, I would like to see it, in the words of Monique from Chicago. So yeah, it was, so I mean, what? I'm supposed to be ashamed that I'm attracted to Serena Williams? Fuck out of my face. She know what's up. I know what's up. Okay. And ain't nothing, nobody gonna do nothing about it. Now I'm gonna try to holler at Serena Williams. Get the fuck out of here. So it's, for a second she went and said, look at all this goodness going on in the world. And we said, thank you, Serena. But maybe she only did that for herself. Maybe she did that for other black women. Maybe she did that for body. I don't know why she did it.
But I'm just thankful she did it
because it was hashtag sitting. And that's what really matters. Okay. So it's kind of funny. With women, because like Cardi B, she's doing these videos and she's naked and she's stripping and she's twerking and stuff because she's done all that in real life. And you know, so much of the rap aesthetic for women has become about like sex work and stripping and stuff. And it's, you know, whether it's and owning your sexuality, right? Like
owning it,
which is always, you know, since Lil' Kim, since Foxy Brown, like it's been, you know, shit since Moni Love, you know, shit, Missy.
Yes, Missy.
Missy is a nasty.
I don't think people really listen to her lyrics. Her lyrics was like, woo.
You know,
she might have did them 2025 videos back in 1997, but she was saying some things.
Right. She be in one of them big ass pumped up garbage bag suits, but she be talking about sucking your dick down the thing. You be like, oh Jesus.
Come on.
I don't know if I'm supposed, am I supposed to feel comfortable right now?
Yes. Beat me 911. Yes.
She wrote that tweet song.
Right.
Oops.
Oops. That goes my shirt up over my head.
And so you have so for men anyway, there's always been like, whether it's a woman trying to rap for herself or it's just like video vixens in the video, it's always been like, look at these scantily clad twerking, just beautiful ass women everywhere. Period. Whether they're doing it for themselves, whether they're doing it as accoutrements to some rapper, it's just fine women being around. We had BET Uncut; it was all fine women.
I missed that show.
So then, after all that, you know, after we got like Rump Shaker, like the motherfucking precursor to what would change videos forever. After we got Rump Shaker, my man MC Hammer said, "Listen, I'm back." And I'm gonna do a little something for the ladies. I'm gonna get out here and shake my dick.
And he shook it.
But the problem is, it's harder to walk the line of what is sexy for a man versus what's sexy for women.
Agreed.
And I'm not saying no women found MC Hammer's gyrations to be sexy. I'm sure there were plenty.
Yes, it was.
But it just don't hit the same when it's
because
he was out there like giving. He was out there giving it the old college try. It wasn't like, you know, a sexy ass video that women love is, Untitled by D'Angelo.
How does it feel to you?
Yeah, how does it feel? I don't know where to you came, but how does it feel?
That's what I call it. How does it feel to you? That's my jam. But, I know that's wrong. I don't care.
But like, what, like, D'Angelo's Untitled was fucking palpably like, you be in the cafeteria when that came on in college and literally you had to get a mop to just take care of the floors, okay?
Come on!
It was like everyone got quiet. Nobody was talking.
That chocolate ass man, what you talking about?
Insecure dudes, mad as shit, women thirsting as fuck, you know, like, it was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it was like a subtle sexuality that was, you know, vulnerability. It was all these things at the same time. MC Hammer, he just didn't, he could, it wasn't that. It wasn't, it was just, it was, people was like laughing at the shit. And it's sad when like women are laughing at the shit, you know, cause like he did the video for them.
Like you say, it's a line between, like you say, it's like he went overboard because like that D'Angelo was, it was sexiness, but it was, because for men, because I'm talking for somebody straight, because women, a penis is a penis to a woman. So it's one of those things where you just flopping it around. We're going, okay, I can see any penis flop around. Let's keep that real. But when you have somebody that's like, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to make you desire me. And that's what D'Angelo did. He was like, I'm going to make you desire me. With MC Hammer, it was like, here it is, girl. Here, boop, boop. You like, I'm good.
You know what?
I'm
it was
good.
Like, it was like the world's first unsolicited dick pic.
Yes!
Like, it was like the
first. It was like too much. You know, it's like, if I say I want it, that's cool. But it was like, I didn't request it and I got it anyway.
And the
like,
song wasn't sexy.
No, the song wasn't sexy.
Yeah, it's not.
Yeah, because like I said, with that, you know, I think that makes a difference. With D'Angelo, it was slow. It was sexy. Right. It was setting the tone. You know what I'm saying? It was like, how does it feel? Versus this one, it's like pumps in the bump. It's like, hey.
You're and it like, was, we like the girls with the pumps in the bump, but it's him in a bikini draw swinging his dick around.
Not the same.
What? Like, you could have put
I
on like.
Ready.
One of them MC Hammer suits and just walked around a pool full of women, we would have been like, oh,
okay,
those women are the pumps and the bumps. And also the slang, no one talks like that.
Nope.
There was never been a situation where you were talking to somebody and they was like, bruh, I'm gonna tell you what I like though. Okay. I mean, look, it's a lot of women. I'm into these women with the pumps and the bumps. Okay.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
And the funny part
what
is.
What are the bumps? Like a STD?
The funny part is, this is one of the few videos that I remember vividly. Like, like if you've seen it, you know.
Nobody can forget it. It's scarred us for life.
Nobody can forget that. Because everybody was like, did you see the new MC Hammer video? Like, what happened? I don't know, girl.
Like, MC Hammer had like a Saturday morning cartoon and he also was swinging his dick around over on BET. Like, we couldn't forget it.
It was confusing.
It was like, I thought I was watching Hammer Man or whatever the fuck his shit was called, and then you turn on the other channel, he out there like, look at my dick.
How about that? Do you have the video?
Man, oh God, why would you subject us to this? Only the people in the chat can even see it.
That's fine, but I think some of them haven't seen it.
Oh God, y'all are in for a horrible treat.
All right.
God, I like the video where he tried to come back hard and he was running down killing Jay-Z.
I remember that.
That was beef. We covered that on the podcast not too long ago.
Ooh, that's been a few years ago. Yes.
Like, that was groundbreaking. Okay. That MC Hammer, I fucks with, but pumps in the bumps, man. I mean, it should look like a fucking West Coast Productions.
Yes. West Coast Productions.
It looked like Brian Pumper and Jake Steed should have been featured on the track with him. Rapping about porn, you know.
Freaks, it'd make more sense.
Freaks, hoes, and flows.
Yes, freak, hoes, and flows.
And then Brian, I forgot what Brian. Fattest rhymes and dimes. Just, yo, I just realized Brian Pumper ripped off Jake Steed. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's so egregious. Freaks, hoes, and flows, and fatty rhymes and dimes. Damn. That's egregious as fuck. Wow. I guess Jake Steed couldn't sue since he was out of country. Funky fly video, some guys coming straight out of DC. I'm talking about the homeboy. This is not an HD with the booty call. But right now we're gonna check out what the did they shoot this in? The hammer. Yo, G. Okay, first of all, Hammer got the wild tiger stripes on his drawers.
And you know this years ago, he got that big ass phone. That phone is the size of a book.
And you know it was a flex because somebody had to walk and hand him the phone. So I don't know that that's a mobile phone as much as it's one of those wireless phones. The cordless phones we used to have.
Yes, where you have to charge that bitch. Yeah.
12 noon, pumps and the bumps affair.
Why the antenna up there? So the antenna is so long, he could reach space.
Of course, yeah.
Like a satellite phone.
Come on.
And it's all good.
Look at that antenna.
Yeah, it's like a set phone.
That antenna can double as a vibrator.
Yes, it can.
And then he hit a button. See, that's why he broke. He hit a button and then water started flowing out of a waterfall on the side of his pool.
Went from black and white to color.
Yeah. Like, and this is 19 whenever.
Yeah. So all this shit costs. Some of y'all might not have been born.
Like, just turning on that water cost $17,000. I guarantee
you. You know it, dude.
We having a pumps and a bumps party.
So it's like a big ass pool party.
And that's him humping in the middle of everybody.
Mm-hmm. Where's his house at?
I don't know. I appreciate that this is a real party though.
Yeah, this is a real party, yeah.
Like he really had this party.
And they threw the cameras on.
Nobody is comfortable with this much nudity from any dude. And Hammer's in decent shape. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It was just too much at the time, man. The world wasn't ready.
And I think that's the thing. We weren't ready.
I'm trying to think what rapper could make this transition right now. And I just don't know who could just, like, what to describe what this feeling would be like. You know what I'm saying? Like, what rapper could just come out suddenly and be in a thong and we'd be like, I don't know, bruh.
Right. And the thing is, he'd have been better off getting male strippers. I mean, because that's what they do for a living. Mm. You know, it's just like, you ain't doing it right.
Yeah. And it's just him and a bunch of women, but it's right. Him and his thong and his these tidy whities flipping around.
Yeah, because women like male strippers.
Okay, why was it a prerequisite in every black rap video? They had to have some white people to turn away from a party. Every black party video ever, I think, except for the groundbreaking oh my god, what was the name of that motherfucking video where the white people showed up at the barn at the club and they let them stay? And they rocked with them, but they was regular white people. They wasn't even like hip-hop white people. It was like a white family. Mm-hmm. And it was a southern crunk group. What the fuck was the name of that? Get crunked up. That's the only time
we That's have, my jam.
That's the get only time
up, get fucked up.
White
get
people show
up. Get, yes.
Get crunked. It was really get fucked up, but I think crunked up. That's another one where the edit sound better than the regular version.
Correct.
But yeah, just like big things popping. But anyway, that they always gotta have some white people that's not supposed to be there. It's like we don't have a party until we turn away some white people. Like
that's when you know it's official.
Yeah. Hey, we're here for the pool party and like, get away from here, 50-year-old white women. Like, I thought I would be at a party with the Hammer. I don't think so.
Like somebody said, we went from turn this mother out to pumps in the bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we wasn't ready.
And then they always had to have the very end where they let the white people in anyway. And the white people are like, you know what? This hip hop's not bad.
Not that bad.
You know, now that I'm in here with these Negroes, I kind of like these jams. Let me call 911 back. Hey, guys, you don't got to come.
I'm sorry. False alarm.
I know I called earlier, but they're just having pumps in the bumps over here, and I'm okay with that. But, yeah, it was, man, this was a lot. This was.
Yeah.
The world wasn't ready to see his.
He was before his time.
Yeah.
I give him credit for being before his time.
Jesus Christ. I don't know how we got on this tangent. Anyway, what? Wow. How did we get here? I was listening to Humping Around, I think.
Yep, and we talked about the humping, and he was number one on the hump list.
Yeah, oh, that's what it was. He's number one on the most pumps. Most
pumps per second on the video.
Per second in a video. He's number one.
He's number one.
Number two, of course, Bobby Brown humping around. I mean, that nigga was humping around hard in that video. I still remember he was up on like a stage and he was like up on some stairs. I was like, damn,
yes,
this nigga humping.
He was humping. What, who's, do you have one? You have anybody else that got the most humps?
Most pelvic thrust per, oh, I had to think on this one, man.
Okay.
It takes a certain type of person to be able to even pull this
it
off.
It does take a certain type of person.
You need a fast beat. You know what I mean? Like, slow songs. People don't really hump hard, pump the air thrust with the pelvic stuff.
Right.
Some pelvic gotta be up there somewhere.
Yes.
Shit. I know Luke and them, the dancers up there, but I don't know if Luke is up there.
Yes, you Uncle know? Luke. Yes.
Yeah, I know the dancers up there, but Luke didn't dance, so. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know, but some probably like the 69 boys or somebody up there.
Come on.
Somebody I haven't thought about in a long time. I'm sure they up there because they was just like, that's half the song. It's just.
That's half the song.
Look at us slamming our dicks around and shit.
Right. Like somebody said, pop that pussy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a bunch of women have, like a woman has the record, I'm sure, but.
Of course.
I was thinking about dudes, but yeah, I'm sure there's a woman that has the record for like, pussy popping and shit. Like, that's not even close.
Mm-mm. We undefeated in that.
All right, let's get into some news. Something I wanna ask you. There's something that I wanna know. And to this question, you have the answer. So tell me what I wanna know. Do you wanna funk? Do you wanna funk? Won't you tell me now? Won't you tell me now? If you wanna funk, let me show you how. Do you wanna funk with me? Do you wanna funk with me?
That's a Stone Cold groove.
Mm-hmm.
Going all the way into, of course, our LGBTQ news segment, where we talk about all the news that's affecting LGBTQ news people, all LGBTQIA folks all throughout the, and plus and all that stuff. We talk about it, and it's normally sad.
Right.
Cause as you guys know, much like, fucking with black people, it's gallows humor. So, let's get into these articles. Trump administration tells U.S. embassies they can't fly pride flags on flagpoles. I don't know why. You know what? What's the saddest part about this? Trump doesn't hate gay people because
Mm-mm.
he hates gay people. He's not a religious man. He's not.
No, he's not.
He's a dude that clearly has no morals. He fucks any and everything. He's a rapist, allegedly, and all this stuff. This nigga really just doing it because he know that Republicans hate gay people.
Correct.
And he like, it's the easiest points to score to just be like, don't do this symbolic sign of inclusion or recognition of LGBTQ plus folks throughout the diaspora. Let's just not do it. And let's put the press release out that we're not doing it, because that'll be enough to make people go, oh, what a great guy. I love Trump. Family man, church goer. A godly man, because we measure man of God in America in some very fucked up ways.
Agreed.
Three U.S. diplomats said that the administration rejected requests from embassies to fly the flag.
A few hung them anyway.
Yeah, I mean.
What are you going to do?
It's almost like you kind of just have to take that approach to Trump, which is, I'm not gonna treat you like you're the president of the United States, and we'll see what happens. You know, I wish more people would do that. When he tries to implement something, you just go, I'm just fucking not doing
it. It's not the law. What the fuck are you doing?
You don't do things the way presidents are supposed to. I'm not gonna do things the way that
generals are supposed to, or right. You know,
or somebody that will actually respect what you did in your position,
like the way administrative officials are supposed. I'm not gonna do it. Right. You asked me to do something against my morals as an administrative person in your office. I'm just gonna do what the fuck I want to do, because that's what the fuck you do.
Right. You don't follow nobody's protocols, nothing.
And I get that people say, well, that's fucking up precedent, and the next president, people are gonna do that. Yo, they already did, dog. They did it to Obama.
Yes, they did.
They already did. So I don't, like, for the whole, like, with rules and decorum and shit, it's been out the window. Not that I'm against impeachment, but it's one of the reasons you don't catch me being too upset about whether they impeach him or not. Mm-mm. Cause I'm like, y'all are doing it for the sake of rules and decorum, cause you think saving those or somehow bringing it back or whatever is more important to the republic than what will be expedient to get this man out of power. That, and I get it. Like I said, I'm not against it, so don't write up here arguing with me about it. I just don't give a fuck.
Same.
Like, so I guess in 3 years we'll find out if or not people feel like he broke the law. Well, in 3 years I hope we voted him out by then,
right?
Like, the next fight to me is 2020. How do you get this nigga out of office? It seemed like a pretty big deal right now. The 2019 elections, like, these seem like pretty big deals, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I wish people, rather than waiting on, like, I don't know, a Supreme Court judge to tell you something, just fuck them.
Right.
Put the flag up. What are you gonna do?
Nothing.
You know, fire me the way he fires everybody anyway. Like, what the, okay, you fire everybody that does what you say too. Who wants to be the fucking ambassador for this shitty administration?
Right. I think they did a thing on NPR where they were basically talking to these diplomats, and they were saying, like, people, like, out here trying to do their jobs, and they were saying that we're actually a laughing stock of the world, because they was like, he's a fucking idiot.
And yeah, even with Mueller, he wanted him fired, and people just wouldn't do it. Yeah, just don't do it. Oh, he's gonna fire you. Okay. Like, he's going to fire you anyway. The fucking turnover right there is like Wendy's.
Come on.
Democratic donor Ed Buck, who we know for being implicated in the deaths of two gay black men who were like either escorts or some sort of thing like that.
They found him at his house, right? And yes, it's that same dude. Okay,
that's the same guy. He's now accused of human trafficking and revenge porn. Yeah, West Hollywood activist and Democratic donor Ed Buck, who came under fire after two black men died from crystal meth overdoses in his home within 18 months, now faces additional allegations of human trafficking and revenge porn, according to new documents filed in a wrongful death suit against Buck. The new allegations concern an ongoing case filed against Buck by Letitia Nixon, the mother of Jamel Moore, a 26-year-old black man who died in Buck's West Hollywood apartment on July 27, 2017. Moore, who lived in Harris County, Texas, with his mother and siblings, had taken a flight from Houston earlier that day, traveled back straight to Buck's apartment. He died hours later. Moore's body was found beside, we've gone over the the details, but yeah, multiple syringes, brown residue, a scale, several lighters and torches, a straw. They also found like a diary from one of the men that basically said, yo, this dude shoots me up with drugs. It's like some turn on for him to drug people and shit. And I'm scared he's gonna kill me and all this shit. And, yeah. So now he's being accused, of sex trafficking and revenge porn. So, yeah, they don't have all the details, because they're gonna wait till court to reveal the details of why they're charging him with more crimes. But yeah, I mean, sounds like a very dangerous dude. No one should be taking money from him if you're a Democratic politician. I don't give a fuck how much money he has. He needs to go have a criminal trial. He should probably end up in jail, because I'm not a prison abolitionist, and some niggas need jail.
Yes, they do.
So this nigga need jail. I feel like we talked about this. The It's Above Me guy is now apologizing for a social media comeback to haunt him.
We did.
So we talked about this on the show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. He apologized for,
it don't matter.
Y'all sure we talked about this on the show? You sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Why do I think we didn't talk about this? All right, wow, brain fart, I guess. We talked about the apology too?
Yeah, because we talked about how he fucked up, and by the time he apologized, he already fucked up some money.
Was going to sell some shirts.
Yeah, didn't nobody want
to
hear it.
Shout out to the people that still tried to make it a thing, though. I feel y'all. It's like, it's a shame. He took it from all of us, really, right? And it's one of those things where if he could have just waited like a month, we would have been like, well, yeah, he's trash, but I mean, I already bought the shirt and it's delivered and I've been wearing it. I don't take pictures in my Instagram and shit. I mean, he's trash. I won't wear it again, but I mean, it's become the cultural zeitgeist. This nigga gave us a smooth like 17 hours before he was trash and everybody was like, oh, you're trash.
I won't be purchasing that order.
Go ahead and cancel this.
You know that's what happened.
So yeah, he's done. There's a TV station that stopped an episode of Arthur, the kids cartoon,
on PBS, right?
Yeah, yeah, okay. From airing because it had a same-sex wedding that would violate the audience's trust. The episode,
this is the one that people was upset about, right?
Yeah. The episode in question was titled Mr. Ratburn and the Special Someone. It shows Arthur and his pals' beloved teacher getting married to another man. The kids initially think Mr. Ratburn is marrying a woman, another rat, but she turns out to be Mr. Ratburn's sister, voiced by Jane Lynch. In the episode, the kids who attend the wedding with their parents are delighted to see Mr. Ratburn walking arm in arm with his soon-to-be husband. Although Mr. Ratburn's queer reveal was widely applauded, kids in Alabama will have to find somewhere else to watch it. Because Mike McKenzie, director of programming at Alabama Public Television, told AL.com the station has no plans to air the episode either now or in the future.
It got aired at Wells, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Parents have trusted Alabama Public Television for more than 50 years to provide children's programs that entertain, educate, and inspire, McKenzie said in a statement. He suggested the station doesn't think it's appropriate for kids to watch episodes without parental supervision and consent. More importantly, although we strongly encourage, a white man is talking.
I'm sorry, white man.
I don't know what goes on in your little colored show over there at your podcast, but here when a white man is speaking in Alabama, he finishes his goddamn sentence. I know that much. Now back to what I was saying about these gay rats. More importantly, although we strongly encourage parents to watch television with their children and talk about what they have learned afterwards, parents trust that their children can watch APT without their supervision. We all know that children who are younger than the target audience for Arthur also watch the program.
And they're not going to remember that shit.
And they're going to be gay. About? Listen, Negress, okay?
It don't work like that,
There's a lot of sass coming off from that side of the table, okay? Nah, goddammit. We don't play that over here.
Look here. That's why you only clapped on the ones and the threes.
Wow. Okay, this is gonna be a problem. I can see that right now. 911, I'm gonna need some help. Need some backup. The vast majority of parents would not have heard about the content, whether they agree with it or not, he added. Because of this, we felt it would be a violation of trust to broadcast the episode.
Nobody got a problem with y'all. Nobody else give a fuck.
Yeah, what I find interesting with this shit is, as always, why do y'all, first of all, it's a cartoon where they're not gonna show the rats fucking.
No, okay? nor kissing, probably.
They're not gonna, yeah, like they probably didn't, if they kissed, I wouldn't care, but they probably didn't even show that because it's a fucking cartoon and they don't show anybody doing shit like that.
Right, probably. they barely show people holding hands, married couples on cartoons like this.
Right, now I haven't watched Arthur in forever, so I don't know, maybe it's changed, maybe it's the new Archie, I don't give a fuck, but the point being, the bigger underlying message with all this shit is we don't want kids to learn that there are gay people who exist in the world, because if we hide it from them, they just won't be gay, or the ones who are gay will hide their gayness the way that we have hidden it throughout society, of this character can't be gay, this story can't be told if it's involving someone gay, this Disney cartoon can't have two gay characters dance or look at each other. Like, we have to keep everything cishet all the time, everywhere, 100% of the time, because if we show a crack, just a chink in the armor, that a little bit of gay can slip through, just a little bit of gay,
just a little
bit. The kids will just start fucking, like, pulling their dicks out at 6 years old and fucking each other and shit.
That's not how this works.
Because that's how it works, guys.
No, that's not how any of this works.
Keep in mind, as a straight kid, as a straight person, right, at no point was I like, well, damn, if Duke is dating Lady Jane on G.I. Joe, I'm going to need to put my dick in someone's vagina. At no point.
I didn't even know what it was.
G.I. Joes don't even have fucking private parts, dog. I didn't know. I was banging them into each other, calling it fighting. I didn't know anything about sex.
Because all the private parts are smooth.
You're a kid. The only thing that that does is validate the attraction that you have to other people. That's it. And so you don't have these examples. You don't have any healthy examples, because everything that is queer is bad in the kids' world, right? Everything that is queer is like, Cobra Commander talks with a lisp and a high voice, and they dress as flamboyant. Dr. Mindbender has no fucking shirt on. All the quote unquote gay looking characters with the mustaches and suspenders and stuff that looks, you know, now that we're adults, are like, that could be a badass costume for somebody. Like, that motherfucker probably, like, now I'm like, Cobra was fucking.
Come on.
Cobra was fuck. Kid Sartan and them niggas in the swamp, I know they was getting
it. They was winning all the contests.
Right, I know Cobra Commander was in some BDSM shit, okay? But yeah, all that stuff, and you're just kind of like, as a kid, it's over your head. You're not thinking as sexual beings or any of that.
No.
And when two characters are dating, quote unquote, in a kid's cartoon, you know, it's little stuff like they look in each other's eyes, or, you know, because they're not normally kissing or making out or anything like that. Nigga, you can't just have two men that feel that way, two women that feel that way. We watch a ton of shit on Cartoon Network, and I'm telling you right now, it's all over there, and they ain't supervising it. It's all over your Cartoon Network. Like, in a malicious way, but just literally, like, you know, on Clarence, there's a teacher who's waiting for his date to show up, and it's another woman. Oh, waiting for her date to show up, I think, and it's another woman or something like that. Or maybe it's a dude and another dude. Point being, it's there. It's just a matter of fact. They didn't make a very special episode about it. They just did it. I almost wish that this episode wasn't, I'm glad that this episode was presented the way it was for all the children that got to see it.
Mm-hmm.
But you almost wish or hope that in the future, other episodes, they'll just have the husband in these episodes without making the episode about it.
So that
the kids will get to see it, because it's more important that the kids get to see it. Because if you are fucking gay, if you're queer, if you're LGBTQ, whatever, and you're watching these shows and you never see yourself represented, you do feel like, am I dirty? Am I wrong? Should I be ashamed? Is there no future for me? Or is my future, I have to, like, grow up and be one of these people that marries a person of opposite sex, even though I don't feel that way? You see what I'm saying? So, like, it needs to be in there. And the fact that this stupid motherfucker banned it, he made it bigger news than it would have been if he just aired it.
Right.
No, you know? And then also, the message is to the kids that you can't be this. It's not about parents and consent. You don't ask them to consent for the other shows.
Mm-mm.
When they do charity or they fucking other shit did they cover, bullying or whatever, you know, we need the parents to see if bullying is wrong. Like, fuck out of here, you fucking bigot. Sorry.
100 for you then.
Yeah, it's just, yes, because it's just stupid. You're not gonna make kids not be gay. They're gonna be gay. The kids are already gay, dog, you know. Matter of fact, let me see. Let's move out of this. I have something that's not on the list, but I did want to talk about.
Okay.
Or maybe it's on another segment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, give me 1 second and see if I save this article. I don't know if I saved it, but Jaden Smith, is has a vegan food truck that is gonna feed the homeless for free.
Wonderful.
Right.
He, him and his sister out here doing the things. Ain't she got them shoes made out of recyclable plastics?
I believe so. I'm not 100% sure on that, but I believe so. But what I was gonna say is Jaden and Willow are such fucking awesome kids. And Jada and Will, I hope they're so proud of themselves, because they really did raise two dynamic ass kids that are very important.
They care about the way. People.
Yeah, they care about people. Like, you know how many fucking like spoiled ass kids that just care about themselves? Hey, I'm rich and I don't, I could be a douchebag, that we see in the media all the fucking time, you know? And to see kids that did have that silver spoon in their mouths, were raised in the public.
Yes, they were.
With all the pressures that entails, that are so open and honest and sharing, and at the same time, like, inspirational. And they just kids. They really still very young.
Yes, they are.
You know?
Maybe early 20s at the least.
Yeah. You know, Jaden is a rapper, but I mean, Jaden was started as an actor. And I mean, that Karate Kid he put out is super underrated. He killed that shit.
That move was good.
But you know, I think Jaden also, and I don't know if he quote unquote came out of the closet, but he did definitely talk about him and Tyler the Creator, like kind of intimating like towards a relationship or something. So like their kids are so like outspoken and not ashamed, and their parents are so supportive. And I love the work that Jada Pink is doing with the Red Table. I know people do the thing where whenever there's a episode that they don't like that's about like sex or something, they always go, did they share too much? But I actually fucking love that shit. Like just the destigmatization of it, the I cannot even relate to the bravery it takes to share all the things that they share. That's crazy to me.
Right.
But I think it's so dope that they're doing it. And securing a bag for it as well. I mean, you know, not nothing wrong with that.
No, they ain't doing it for free.
But what I was gonna say is I love like Jaden's vulnerability. I love his openness. And you know, it's funny that he went from just a kid that always was saying weird shit, and we were like, you know, it was memes of like Jaden's like weird brain and stuff. But he really does seem to have a heart for people.
Yes, he does.
And I really love Willow being on the Red Table Talk. And I think not enough people, I hear a lot of backlash to that all the time. And you know, and I see what people are saying, but it's always that thing where I wonder if they thought it through yet. Because I think, let's see, I think she's 16. Let me look up her age real quick.
Cause he's the oldest, right?
Yeah, just the oldest, but I think she's like 16 or so. And she's on this at this table, this round table, with it's her mom and her grandma. She's 18, so she's okay. 18 now. So it's her mom and her grandma. So her being 18, now I'm actually annoyed about some of the shit I hear people saying. But
right.
She's 18. She's at this table with her mom, her grandma, and they talk about things that are taboo, things that typically would be off limits, things that, especially in the Black community, we really have a lot of pressure on girls to like fit into a lane and fit into a space that no matter how progressive we try to sound, it's always kind of close your legs, shut your mouth.
Don't be fast.
Yeah, don't be fast. Go to school. Don't mess with boys. That kind of shit. No matter how fucking woke and rich and all the shit people get, it's all right. The same, you know, like I'm gonna give you a whooping type ass mentality, right? And I think people are starting to shake that. You know, we're learning more. People are growing more. Whenever a sexual topic comes up and she contributes to it, I always hear like this, I can't believe they let that girl sit at that table. You know, cause her mom, you know, they talked about like, polyamory in an episode. They've talked about, you know, sexual experiences in an episode. I think she talked about like, being interested in maybe even directing pornography, but if it was like a certain type of way, like she would like to, you know, if someone even offered like a studio that was held by a woman, was like, you know, if you're really serious about it, I will show you how to direct the scene, and I'll let you direct the scene for our company. Like, and people are just like, you know, clutching pearls, like, oh my god, no, you know. And I'm like, I really fucking like that. Like, because what I think people haven't come to grips with is y'all's kids already doing and knowing this shit, and with there being no one representing them talking about these issues, where the fuck are they supposed to go?
Right, because some of them can't come to you.
When are we gonna shine the light on this shit? Because all of us grew up, and a lot of my friends got kids, got pregnant at a young, early age.
Especially our generation. It's actually better. It's what's so funny, not to get off a tangent, what's so funny, our generation always looking at this generation like they ain't shit. Our generation had the highest teenage pregnancy rates.
Right. Drug use and stuff.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, like, these kids should have that light and that spotlight and that stage to express all the things that we didn't get to. All the things that we were afraid of, all the things we were told, you know, made us bad people, bad mm-hmm. kids. They're just human urges. It's just curiosity and instincts. You're just expressing yourself and your thoughts. And we all had those same thoughts. And everyone's so fucking afraid of that age, you know? Like, there's this age where, like, you're still a child to us, even though clearly nobody's a fucking kid at that age anymore. And now that I know she's 18, I thought she was like 16 or 15 or something, which I still would have been like, yo, this is actually really dope. It's the reason a lot of fucking adults we know that have kids and they can't talk to their kids about like sex.
Right.
Right.
They shut down, they have mental breakdowns, and they go talk to your mama, go talk to your daddy, go talk to anybody but me, because they have their own sexual hangups.
And Jada and Jada's mom and Willow are a really good blueprint for these frank, honest conversations where you might not like what you're about to hear, but now you know what your kid is thinking in a way that you never would have. And it's not better to not know. I know a lot of people think it's better to not know. It's not better to not know. And I'm saying this as someone who doesn't have kids, but I'm just saying, I was a kid, we all were. It's not better to not know what the fuck your kid is up to, because that's when you get the surprises of I'm pregnant,
I got an STD,
you know. But things, talking to your kid about like birth control,
right,
talking to your kid about obviously protection for sexual transmitted diseases,
come on,
talking to your kid about mental health. I'm not just talking sex shit, talking to your kid about mental health, like these taboos or these areas that we all deal with, but we all fucking like are scared to be open about. Like Jada and Will, under a tremendous lot of pressure, people calling them Scientologists, people, you know, questioning their blackness,
weird parents, right,
people questioning the fact that they let their kids hang out with these other kids and shit. I still remember people trying to sexualize Willow Smith because a boy was in the bed with no shirt on, but they were all just young kids and friends at the time, and it was like, we should call child services on them.
I think they even came to
the house. They came to the Smith's house up the street. Kylie Jenner is fucking Tyga,
right?
And nobody said shit,
not a motherfucking word.
But the black kids had the double fucking standard of, you know, these we gotta sexualize this little girl and shit. So I don't know, there's something about those kids that I don't think they get enough fucking credit. I don't think the Smiths get enough credit. I don't think Red Table Talk gets enough credit. People are too fucking quick to like hop on a soundbite, and I get it, it's media, it's what media does, it's for the ratings, it's for the clicks. It probably helps them out more that people do assume the worst and click on the shit and then go, oh, it wasn't that bad, or, you know, click on it and go, I'm outraged. But if you would watch the fucking show, I really think people are missing some great conversations that are not happening other places. This isn't The View, where they have like women who are older and set in their ways and they have their own opinions. Like, you got a mind being molded, but also a mind expressing itself at an age where a lot of black girls don't get to express themselves. Like, at that age, like, everyone shut the fuck up, you're a kid, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. That shit is important. So many other people get to express themselves at that age, and it validates and humanizes them in a way that you don't see with black girls. You just don't.
No, you don't. I can't express enough growing up how I thought something was wrong with me. I thought something was wrong with my body. I thought something was wrong with having sexual desires.
Right.
Like, I really thought, I thought my body was dirty. I thought having sex and being intimate was just a dirty, nasty thing. You know, I was one of those little girls after my first time getting intimate was called, you know, fast ass whores and all that type of shit. Like, so I am a result of that, you know, of the sit down and shut up and don't tell me nothing and don't talk to me about nothing and shit like that. Like, I am a living example of that. And it's not healthy, parents. It is not healthy. You end up fucking up your children. And it takes years for them to recover from this, if they recover at all.
Some people can't talk to their parents now.
No, they can't.
How many people right up here, like, shocked almost, like, so you had your parents on your podcast every year and you be cussing and stuff? I'm like, they listen to the show. Like, I have, you know, what I would consider to be a very healthy relationship with my parents. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But like, other people are passing this cycle on. And I just see it in the zeitgeist whenever this fucking show comes up and people start getting real super uptight about, you know, Willow being in the room, having an opinion when they're talking about certain topics. And I'm like, your kids see this shit. There are no 18-year-olds that don't know what the fuck this is. Wow, they're talking about pornography. All your kids have seen pornography. News fucking flash. I know I had seen it and we didn't even have the internet and I had seen it by this age. Like, what are you talking about? Like, why do you want to just, you can't put your head in the sand and this shit just goes away. You want your kids to grow up and be healthy. You want to, like, be able to provide a sounding board, to be able to provide some, like, context to the things they're experiencing, but at the same time you want them to not talk about the shit and pretend everything's all good.
Right. And the thing is, you want them to have experience without the experience. You want the children just to know, you know. And the thing is, I understand that as a parent you don't have all the tools, you're not always equipped, but you know what, spend the money and take the time and put them in a place where they can get the help. Get them therapists, psychologists, whatever it takes to make your child a well-rounded human being versus going, I don't got the answer, so fuck it.
All right. But yeah, that was just on my heart, man. I fucking, those kids are so dope, man. You know, hopefully people are looking at the way they were raised and thinking about the way they raised their kids, because you ain't got to be rich to have a kid that's free, quote unquote.
No, you don't.
Like, it's not a money thing. It's a mentality thing. You know, and you just don't see free black kids very often. You know, we're so fucking afraid, and I get it, reasonably so, but we're so afraid our kids, they absorb it, and then they're afraid, and then they don't dream, and then they don't, you know, they grow up with that heart that's not filled, you know.
Correct, because the thing is, and it's a parent's job to protect their children and keep their children grounded in reality, particularly with black parents, because, you know, you've been through shit like racism and all that stuff. But when you're talking about killing dreams, that's true, you know, because I can't, a lot of black children don't grow up with like really 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 big dreams, and a lot of times if they do, they are shot down really really quickly.
Your parent, like, could be the first person to kill your dream.
Like, they will shoot that shit. You be like, I want to be so-and-so. Boy, you ain't gonna be that. I want to do so-and-so. You ain't never gonna do that. Like it's almost an instant thing. But it's in what's so wild is that it's out of a form of love and out of a form of self-protection, don't get me wrong, but at the same time, you have to allow children to have dreams, because, you know, now as an adult, and this is sad, I'm actually get to the point where I'm actually dreaming big for the first time. Like, I've dreamed, but I'm talking about like dreaming big, like something bigger than me, planning something bigger than me, going, okay, these things can come, let me get these things in line, you know. And my thing is, like, right, so it doesn't always have to come from money, you know. It really doesn't have to come from money, because I was watching Facebook, and it was this dad, he got tired of buying his little girl lotion, and he told her to make her own. She went to library, got books, went on YouTube, she fucking made her own lotions. She's fucking making hundreds of thousands of dollars now, you know. So these things can happen. You just have to lead your children in the right direction. We have all types of free resources out there that can get kids pointed in the right directions. You don't have to know the answers. All the answers don't have to come from you. It takes a village. I know people say that, but they don't mean it. It takes a village. I don't care if you come from a one-parent home, a two-parent home, a multiple-parent home. It takes a village to raise these children. And, you know, children should be able to dream. Children should, particularly black children, shouldn't the bars that I have on my life as an adult, I should not lock my children in those same cages. It's fucking ridiculous. But we do it every day. We do it every day as parents. We lock our children in the same cages that we're in. And then look at the child like something's wrong with the child when the child says, I want out this goddamn cage that I never asked to be put in the first place. And then you don't want to let them out because you're scared. You're scared what's on the other side. You're scared they might get hurt. Well, hurt is a part of life. Pain is a part of life. Disappointment is a part of life. Failure is a part of life. I understand being black and we're not allowed to fail, but I'm sorry. Failure is just a part of life, because if you don't go through it, you won't learn. You won't appreciate. You won't evolve. You won't change. And that's why a lot of parents, but some of you got parents right now, they're the same fucking parents. They've always been your whole life. You know they're stubborn. You know they're mean. You know they have all these problems and you wish they would change. And it took you going off to college. It took you leaving the house. It took you experiencing other people to realize that there was more to life than this little place called home.
And it's like parents, a lot of black parents have decided, like, if the world is going to disappoint you, and I'm so afraid the world's going to disappoint you, let me be the first person to just disappoint you.
Let me be the first.
As opposed, and it's like, what's that kid supposed to take that lesson from? Because you are the blueprint. So if you tell me I can't be shit, I better just hope to get a good government job and not end up in prison, then, I mean, what are you setting my bar at? You know? And then what is my life gonna be? Where am I gonna find my fulfillment and my happiness? And as you brought up so brilliantly, man, the cage metaphor obviously was great, but, as you brought up so brilliantly, you gotta fail. You know? Like, some people, that's another thing. A lot of parents are like, well, if you wanna do blank, and you don't become like a motherfucking Olympian champion of whatever this is, you have wasted my time. It's like, no. You know what's good? Having multiple interests.
Yes.
Trying shit until you find a fit. Quitting is something that is not, it is just simply not valued enough. Kids learning that it's okay to quit sometimes.
Right.
That's dope. Because life is like that. How many people have a shitty job that they should have quit
years ago,
but you never fucking learned there's a value in saying, I value myself more than this situation. I value the limited amount of time I have on this earth more than the shitty situation I'm in. I quit. Okay, I'm not a failure, I'm not a bad person, but maybe I did fail at this thing. Maybe I was bad at this thing. That has no bearing on the person, the human that I am, the sum of my parts. Like those things I think matter so much. Mm-hmm. And we just don't fucking like get those lessons, man. It's just,
we don't.
It's like, you know, and I love quote unquote black excellence and all this shit. We definitely celebrate, like, oh, this motherfucker got a degree, this motherfucker the first black to do this. But it's like, yo, also, if I tried that and it wasn't for me, I still took that's still a win. Mm-hmm. I tried it and I learned and it wasn't for me. But I took the lessons from that and I'm applying it to the rest of my life. That's something I feel like we don't get enough of. And trust me, if your kid can't talk to you about sex at 18, how many of y'all can't talk to your parents about it now?
Right. As fucking adults, you know how many women have had children and would love to talk to their mother about postpartum depression and all this shit that actually goes along with, you know, being a mother, but you can't because you know that your mother wouldn't be able to handle a conversation like that.
Right. So I just, like I said, man, them fucking Smiths, man, they seem really dope to me. And like I said, maybe there's some other shit I don't know. As with all celebrity shit, I'm not as into it as other people, so I'm sure there's something they've said or done that I should be like, oh, fuck them forever, because that's how every celebrity is with people now. But I really just try to keep that kind of energy away from me. I don't think it's healthy. I know people, a lot of people can't help themselves, or they live in that kind of like misery, or seeing malice everywhere. I don't want to live like that. So whatever it is, for the reason that I'm supposed to not fuck with them, like the one thing I might disagree with them on, leave me alone. I don't care. Like, just straight up, don't send it to me. I don't care. Cause the point I'm saying is that they're living such a public life of scrutiny, and their kids were born in a fucking fishbowl, and those fucking kids are so dynamic and healthy and awesome and outspoken and brave in ways that just, I hope
the kids around me can be. I hope the kids in my family can be. I hope, you know, like that, that's goals right there. So,
Because like, no, I don't, like y'all know, but my niece is like an extension of a child to us. So for her, anything that she says that she wants to do, I'm there. When she wanted to cook, I got her a kit that sends to your house like a Blue Apron, you know,
but for kids.
And next summer, it's a place around here that does cooking classes. I told Layla I'ma key mine out. Next year does cooking classes. I said, bitch, I'ma sign you up. I'ma sign you up for the cooking classes. You're gonna be doing Jamaican jerk or whatever they teaching now, because if that's what you want to do, that's what I'm gonna do. Like, and if tomorrow she says I want to be a cheerleader, guess what, I'm putting money in that too. Whatever she wants to do, I will support 100%, because I know what it's like to live a life without with limits. I'm like, bitch, your life is gonna be limitless. Whatever you want to do, let's go ahead and do it. I don't give a fuck of what it is, as long as you're not breaking the law or harming nobody. I'm your biggest goddamn cheerleader.
Right, exactly. So Jay-Z enters legal weed business by partnering with cannabis company. From drug dealer to drug dealer. Shout out to Jay-Z. Oh, because a company, 92 bricks, 94 bricks,
yes!
Whatever it was. Like, I hope he calls it that amount of bricks. man, that's crazy, man. Started as a illegal drug dealer. Now he's a legal drug dealer.
Right.
And of course,
I bet it's gonna be a good strand too.
He said he wants to increase representation and participation of those with criminal records who are prohibited from participating in the growing industry. Anything I do, I want to do correctly at the highest level. With all the potential in the cannabis industry, Saliva's expertise and ethos make them the best partner for this endeavor. We want to create something amazing, have fun in the process, do good, and bring people along the way. It currently operates a farm and two stores in Northern California. The company focuses on the community outreach by offering steady jobs to those affected by San Francisco area wage gap. To have their efforts recognized by the God MC is something Saliva CEO Dennis O'Malley described as humbling. And the other thing for, that I like, I don't know exactly when it happened, but, and I understand that there'll be some people that really can't ever get over disliking Jay-Z and shit, but he really got on my list of people where I'm like, oh yeah, I trust that he'll do this correctly. You know, like, I know there's always a way to spin anything that anyone does into something negative, and people will endeavor to do that,
right?
But he's just one of those dudes where I'm just like, all right, cool, Sean will handle that as good as he can, you know. Like,
there's gonna be a bunch of brown people popping up underneath him.
Yeah, like that'll be like, he won't just be like, I'm out for myself, I'm putting my name on the front of this. And I'm not gonna name any other celebrities because I really don't know their business, but right. But you know, like, there's other celebrities where it's just like, I'm associated with smoking weed, ha ha ha, isn't it funny that I smoke weed, I've been smoking weed, y'all, we're smoking weed, you're smoking my name, my brand of weed. And Jay doesn't seem like, he seems like the kind of person that's gonna be like politically minded with it, like, how are we helping a community of people affected by these laws and shit? How are we affecting you know, like, why would I even align myself with a company that isn't thinking about these things? Like, I'm sure that him and Beyonce, I'm sure they had that fucking pick of the litter of companies he would love to, like, yeah, he probably could have picked any company and been like, I want to partner with y'all. And they'd be like, yes, a popular black rapper wants to partner with us? Yes, we'll do it. And he was out there like, who's ethically approaching this cannabis sale in a way that's going to help a community out?
Right, the community has been locked out of billions of dollars.
So that's dope, man. And meanwhile, he's still like trying to get motherfuckers out of jail, helping in all these viral cases and videos we see. He's out there somewhere like, how can we help this person out? Like, I know people probably got grudges they'll never let go of that dude, but he really seems to be living up to a lot of the stuff he was preaching on 444. Nicki Minaj, now we normally have, you know, the news for her has not been kind lately.
Yeah,
been a lot of wild shit. She started her radio show back last week. I skipped all of that. That news that came out of that, I was just like, I'm not, she was probably saying wild shit. I just wasn't feeling like covering it. Well, she did cancel her Saudi Arabia concert.
Oh, what happened?
So she had a headliner performance at a music festival in Saudi Arabia and she canceled it in protest of the country's oppressive stances on women's rights and LGBTQ plus issues. That's dope, because you know the bar's got a lot of LGBTQ plus people in it, so you know what I'm saying, a lot of times that shit, that support flows one way, like the community supports me and if I let you down, oh well,
right?
Or I feel bad about it after I blow up. I mean, they found Megan Thee Stallion's old homophobic tweets and she apologized already, and although it was funny, her last tweet about it was like, I already apologized for this. And I was thinking like, and of course everybody was like, you know, we got to grow and stuff, because they like Megan, you right. know. And I just thought it was funny because I was like, and Cardi did the same, you know, thing. I just thought it was funny because I was like, when Kevin Hart said it though, I already apologized, I'm over it. We was like, no, nigga. You gonna have to apologize for the rest of your life, whether you did or not, you know. Now, I personally think it's a little different, because I feel like he never really actually did apologize. He just kept saying he did.
Agreed.
But the point being, like, people were like, even if you did, do it again, on command, forever. And I'm like, no one's gonna do that. But also, more importantly, y'all can't keep that same intensity, because if you like the person, y'all actually don't want them to do that.
Nope.
Y'all start doing it for them. Like, no, leave them alone. She made a mistake. She was X amount of years old. And I'm like, I'm not mad at y'all for thinking that way. I'm mad at y'all for never applying it to other people. Like, apply that shit across the board, man. A lot of people said stupid shit when they was young. It's not just your favorite people that deserve some empathy. Sometimes it's people that you don't even fuck with, and you're like, yes, but they were 15 saying stupid shit.
Right.
Like, I like, you know, like when they find these baseball players that say racist shit at 15 on Twitter, I'm like, I guess I'm supposed to be mad, but I'm not. Like, I know he's a white person saying some racist shit, and we're supposed to hold that against him forever and always and shit, but literally I'm just like, I assume all these young white boys is racist at that age, if they have a fighting chance of growing out of the shit,
if
they decide to. We'll find out much later in life. You're not gonna know at that age. They're all indoctrinated into that shit. How the fuck we live in a world where we automatically say, listen, white people are racist, and then go be shocked at each individual case of racism? It's crazy. Either you believe what you're saying or you don't. I really do believe the vast majority of white people are racist and indoctrinated into a white supremacist society that makes them racist. I believe the vast majority of men are misogynistic. This shit. Women, misogynistic.
Yes.
Black people are anti-black. Like, we all indoctrinated in this shit.
Some of us are, yes.
We just didn't used to be on record on the internet until 10 years ago.
Right. Y'all always had family members like that.
So it's that thing that's kind of weird to me when it's like, you know, whatever. Anyway, all that shit to say, back to this topic. While Nicki has some shit that she's been wild and problematic shit she said and done, and Lord knows she gonna do some more. Like, don't, this is just a slight reprieve. Cause I think she's still dating the, that convicted dude. rapist dude and all this shit. What I will say is, I did not expect her to cancel this concert, and I think that's dope that she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, people were, you know, tweeting at her and all this stuff, and she, I guess she really did say, yeah, I won't do it. And a lot of celebrities, including a lot of quote unquote y'all's faves, as the people say pejoratively, but a lot of people's favorite artists and stuff have gone over there and done them concerts.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, I don't even know the list. I just remember seeing petitions, and very few of them actually cancel concerts. Most of them go over there and perform and get, cause they get paid a shit ton of money, cause Saudi Arabia is so rich. And it's normally like the crown prince of blank, or like, it's normally
the sultan of blank.
Yeah, like it's somebody with mad money being like, come over here and sing a couple ditties, and they go do it, you know, for the money. And it's like, well, I believe in these causes, but I'm gone, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I thought that was dope. People are not just one way, black and white. So let's see, ASAP Rocky's appeal was denied by a Swedish Supreme Court. The rapper reportedly is being held in deplorable conditions. Apparently there was a street fight he got into June 30th in Stockholm, And Sweden's Supreme Court rejected his appeal for release from custody July 8th. And it comes 3 days after a Swedish district court ordered that Rocky, born Rakim Mayers, be held in custody while prosecutors investigate the altercation. The court claimed Rocky was a flight risk, which ultimately resulted in the Supreme Court rejecting his appeal for bail. His lawyers argue that his incarceration will hinder his rap career, claim the star has already lost $1 million since being detained. More cancellations will spell the end of his career, said his legal team. Now it's their job to make the biggest case possible.
Right.
To make matters worse, sources say the rapper is being held in deplorable conditions. According to the publication, the facility is intolerable, with human waste allegedly strewn about and inedible food and water for inmates. Rocky has reportedly only had one apple to eat per day. In the wake of the unfortunate event, a few ASAP Rocky's fellow hip-hop brethren have banded together to boycott the country of Sweden. Tyler, the Creator, took to Twitter to announce he won't be returning to the Scandinavian country. No more Sweden for me ever, he tweeted. Shortly after, Schoolboy Q said he would be boycotting the country. I'm not going no more either. Hashtag Flocko. And then what I thought was funny was there were a lot of people retweeting a tweet that had ASAP Rocky being in inhumane conditions, with someone had taken a quote from an interview he did where he talked about Ferguson and not understanding, not going, not caring, all this shit, and it was like, aha, like
a quote-unquote gotcha moment,
like, gotcha, you said this. And then they had a follow-up tweet that was like, I'm not saying he deserves to be held in inhumane conditions, just that I'm like, then what was the fuck, those things aren't even fucking the same.
Mm-mm.
So you were kind of intimating that people should take it that way, that somehow those two things were related, you know, like well, he didn't care enough about Ferguson, so this is happening to him, man. Take what you want from that. Like, come on, man. And the fact that I seen the same people that was arguing about prison abolition and shit for that girl with lick the ice cream, that was like the same people retweeting this shit and laughing, it was some of the same people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really like, god damn, man, y'all can't keep a stance from 2 days.
Oh no,
like
24 hours, what are we talking about? 30, a smooth 12, it might change,
right? Like, y'all can't even keep a stand. Like, you don't even remember what you said a week ago.
They don't.
Like,
or they don't care.
Like, y'all was just, now it's funny that he's caught in deplorable inhumane conditions in a prison overseas. Now it's a joke.
Right. If it was here, would you feel the same way?
Even if it was here, they would have laughed because it's him. They think it's funny because he didn't care enough about the woke shit. So serial killers, rapists, murderers and shit, prison abolition. ASAP Rocky gets locked up. Ha ha, I don't like that nigga. He said something one time. Crazy, man. This shit crazy, right, fam? All right. Let's see. Let's get into some other stuff. Let me see if I can find. What do I want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
Give me 1 second. I'm going to look at these fucking black people articles, see if I want to talk about them. No. I don't feel like talking about those right now.
Okay. I'm going to get 100 anyway.
Yeah, I just don't remember what, like, it was nothing I thought was too funny. I'm sure we could have made it funny, but, no.
Yeah!
So let's do some white people news, okay? There we go. I did promise to do this, because we do have some stuff that Trump did, and as always, we try to cover that stuff, right before we get into white people news. So we do some white people news. And I have to, of course, play some white people music, which is music that they appropriated from us with their acoustic guitars. Wow, this one has an intro and everything. Walking in the park with birds chirping.
Oh, shit.
They put some time into this. And, of course, they have the guitars on their back. Oh, is that Starbucks? Kittens? What do kittens have to do with this video? Is that the audience?
Apparently so. Got on people that showed up. The fuck is this?
Oh, she roller skating, rollerblading through the park, around coffee cups.
My baby, don't mess around.
Oh, God.
So oh, no.
See me walk out the door.
This ain't even the same song. gonna slow the pace down so bad?
Can't stand to fight the speed and got the thought alone is killing me right now.
Remix.
Oh no. It's just good to see Vanilla Love represented on the scene.
Wow.
Oh, he joined in.
Oh shit, not a duo.
I thought he was just hanging out. How they on beat at the same time but way off beat? How they even sync this up?
I have no idea.
Love the exception. Wow, look at the birds flying in the V. I wish so we deny when we know we're not happy here.
He rocking an ascot.
How come nobody else does this part? Is it because they knew these people would be singing? Oh, don't go to that park. Them white people be down there with them guitars.
Making that terrible ass music.
Just fucking Outkast all the way up. Jesus.
Boo.
Wow. That might be bottom five.
This must
all time.
Be in like the middle of the day when the kids at school, because ain't nobody rolling past them, walking in the middle of the camera frame or nothing. What the fuck is
what
happening?
What are they doing? They're hugging in the middle of farts?
I have no idea.
Wow.
That was terrible, sir.
That was a disgrace.
That was a disaster.
Jesus.
It don't even sound like the same song.
That was just evil. That y'all would do that to a perfectly fine Outkast song. Good
y'all, it was a bop. You didn't have to do anything to the bop.
Right. Oh, God.
That's my jam. You slow that song all the way.
You know nobody requested that.
Nobody. Not that version.
Not from them.
Not from you.
Oh, my God. Even the kittens they showed at the beginning left. They didn't show them again.
That was the crowd.
They said, let's get out of here. We don't know what these motherfuckers are up to. Something's wrong with these white people.
Let's go get lost in the bushes.
What is he doing to that guitar? That's not how guitars are supposed to work. Oh my God, white people.
That was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, you normally bop with anything you say is bad. It's bad.
Now, I mean, that's pretty terrible. That was impossible to sing along with. It was so offbeat.
You couldn't even sing along with it.
Nobody was doing a service by that one. Oh, I know my mentions are going to be on fire tomorrow on Twitter. I'm sorry, okay? It's not my fault.
They slow that song to a crawl.
Right?
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Yeah. That's how terrible that was.
Oh, that was bad. That was real bad.
That was so...
That was super bad.
That was so bad, I have to actually, I have to pull out this old nugget.
Stop it right now! This is stupid! This is absolutely ridiculous!
Get out of here!
We are adults, and this is ridiculous. Cut the crap.
We needed her to show up at the park.
Yes, we did, and get them the fuck off that bitch.
When they walked out with no guitar, she should have just came out. Stop it right now!
I started busting out that duo. Stop it right now! This is stupid. We are adults.
Oh man! All right. Wonder what other song she was gonna fuck up from Outkast. Caroline.
Oh no. She's the reason for the word bitch.
I hope she crashes. fuck out of here.
Crashes in a ditch.
I'm just playing. And she's just roller skating through the park.
I know. To divide, to divide.
Donald Trump respond. That's why we gotta talk about yo man Donald Trump, because that's who white people voted for, and this is their segment. He responds to E. Jean Carroll's sexual assault accusation with "She's not my type," which is probably the most rapist thing you can possibly say. I didn't rape her. She's not my type. So the women that are your type are the ones you do rape, or
didn't? Ain't this the one he also claimed he never seen, that they got tons of photos of them together?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Okay. I thought I was being sure it's the same woman.
She's a 76-year-old woman. She's talking about this incident that took place in 95, 96. It was sad. I saw her interview with her. It was kind of a little bit sad because, you know, she was saying that even a woman as outspoken as E. Jean Carroll, even as someone that, you know, has been doing this for her whole life, and she was afraid of the stereotype of being, she didn't want to be just a rape victim. That's what she said. These are her words.
Because that's what people put you in. You can't be nothing else.
Yeah. And because of that, she never came forward. And she said that, you know, she was like, you know, that hasn't affected me. Because I think even with her coming out with this now, it's one of those things where she's probably still dealing with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just have to take people at their face value and what she's saying. But I found some of the things she said interesting, because one of the things she was emphasizing in this interview is like, it hasn't affected me, you know, like I, you know, I'm strong, it didn't break me, it didn't do this. But then she had a moment, and it was kind of, I don't know, it was this moment of reflection that was so small and little on MSNBC, but it was, I don't know, it's heartbreaking for me, when she was like, but I've never been with a man since those 23 years, so maybe it did affect me. You know, but she just, like, she was like, almost like, I'm not even really willing to process.
Right. I'm not willing to acknowledge it.
Cause it's a lot. And then when you tell the world this, you now have to process this in front of everyone. And she even said, a lot of the women in the Me Too movement inspired her. Cause she saw how all these women that were brave enough to say, hey, this happened to me. The thing I would like to bring up though, man, I you know, I'm not trying to be like the wokest thing in the world here, but when it's easy for people to get on board with Donald Trump is a rapist and we don't fuck with him, and it's egregious, and it's really a statement on the world, and it's all these things, right? He's such a terrible person. It's really easy for them to get on board because they don't like him already. For the people that don't like him.
Correct.
For the ones who like him, they treat it just like they treated it when it was Bill Cosby or some, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it tells a lot about people who they're willing to believe and who they're not. And I'm not saying the one-off, because I've said on the show before, it's an uncomfortable thing to say, but the truth is, everybody gets quote-unquote one time where they're accused, and if there's no evidence and it's just somebody's word against that person, for the vast majority of how I've seen it operate in society, people just go on with like, well, I hope it's not true, and unless someone can prove that it is, we're just gonna have to hope that this guy's not a rapist.
That's how most people process it.
And I know that people, it's not a nice thing to say, no, or whatever, but if there's no criminal charges, no criminal evidence, most of the time people will just go, well, okay, they got accused of one thing, but that doesn't mean they did it. That's not the case with Trump. He's been accused by, I can't count how many women it's been now.
It's a lot.
So many women. And there's still people that are like, all these women are lying. Well, why didn't she come forward then? All the women, dog? You know, and I mean, we've gone through it ad nauseum on here, so I won't do it for this article, but like, it was the same with R. Kelly. It was the mm-hmm. same with Bill Cosby.
Mm-hmm.
Every, you know, it's just that those were black people that black people defended. We're doing a black ass podcast. So I doubt we'll have anyone write in defending Trump, but mm-hmm. why not? Why couldn't he be the victim of a fucking conspiracy? Oh, because y'all know he did it, because no one accused, 15 people don't accuse somebody of rape that isn't a fucking rapist.
Come on.
Even if he raped one person out of 15, it still makes him a rapist. So what the fuck? Trump says he has 4 or 5 candidates for press secretary Sarah Sanders' job. She quit. She had the longest tenure of line for this nigga, but she quit. And they made
she quit. That's the what's the
smoky eyes.
Okay. So she just left the position.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Randolph Terrace says she looks like MODOK, and that will always make me laugh. Anyway, she quit, and they replaced her with like Melania's press secretary or something. I don't know. Another nepotism type job, because you know somebody else will be fired in 3 weeks.
Yep.
A waitress spit on Eric Trump at a Chicago bar, according to the Trump Organization, which I don't know if you can trust that, but yeah. An employee allegedly spit on him. She was released after about 2 hours when he decided not to press charges. But she spat on him and was immediately handcuffed. So I mean
you shouldn't have did it, but I understand,
right?
I really hate to be like that. Keep your spit to yourself, but I get it,
right? Like, damn, you know, like, not just because you could have went to jail. I mean, luckily she's not, but like, you could have, you know, that is assault technically. And maybe you just, you said it's worth it. You're like, I'll do the time, because I'm, how often am I gonna get to see this motherfucker in public and get to tell him how I feel about his ass? But man, yeah, I wouldn't have did it, but
I get it though.
I understand. The UK defends an ambassador after disparaging Trump comments leak. Apparently there was some memos that leaked from the British government's ambassador to the United States. The memos, he was talking about Donald Trump, and he's called his administration dysfunctional and inept.
But it is.
where's
the lies?
We don't really believe this administration is going to become substantially more normal, less dysfunctional, less unpredictable, less faction driven, less diplomatically clumsy and inept, said DeRouch. He wrote at one point.
He ain't the only one with these memos. He's the only one that they got caught and intercepted. Everybody else going, he's a dumbass too. That's why Aldo said, that's why he don't like to go to these diplomatic functions and shit like that. He be opting out and not wanting to go because he's looking at crazy by himself, because don't nobody want to sit around him and don't nobody want to be around him. Because
he trash, dog. Right. He trash.
Right.
Mike Pence takes a baseless shot at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and defends concentration camps all in one speech. Yeah, I'm not reading it, but of course he did. I believe you, news people.
I do too.
He much worse than Trump.
Yes, he is. Do people not understand
that? I know people think, I know why people want to see Trump impeached, and I get the gamesmanship of it and how it will make people feel, but President Pence to me is even more dangerous than Donald Trump,
because a lot of the shit would just get passed overnight under the table, and you just wake up and fucking laws would just automatically change and you'd be like, the fuck is this?
Like, they're both dangerous as shit, but he's more dangerous than Trump because he knows what he's doing.
He's competent.
Yeah, Donald Trump is an incompetent, inept, unorganized, unpredictable egomaniac. But Mike Pence would probably go in there and very orderly just rip out civil right by civil right if he could. Not saying that I don't want to see Trump get impeached, but just that if the idea was to then we'll get some Republicans we could work with. No, you're not. They can only be voted out, and that's it.
You're liable to wake up one day, they be knocking on your door with some whips and chains. The slavery's back.
Yeah.
You're like, the fuck is this? It was passed overnight.
Right. Appeals court rules Trump violated Constitution by blocking critics on Twitter. According to a federal appeals court, Donald Trump can't block his critics on Twitter because it's a violation of the First Amendment. Other people can do it, but the President of the United States can't.
He allegedly blocked 7 plaintiffs from the original case after they criticized him for his policies, revoking their ability to access or comment on his post, according to court documents.
And that makes sense. That because of the position that he's in, yes.
Here's the thing that I think everyone, it should, I mean, it's already unnerving, this dude being president. One of the things that should shake people to their core, Donald Trump reads his comments.
He does. You don't think? Yes, he does.
Yeah, that's scary as shit.
He reads them.
Because he had to block these people because of how they were talking to him, and he was being so sensitive, which means he had to read these people.
Yes.
And let it go to court and said, even at the threat of going to court, I want to block these people that bad. And knowing that this is probably unconstitutional. And a court had to rule, like, you can't do that, dog. You're the president. You have to listen to everybody. Wow.
Yeah, you're not a normal citizen.
And lastly, in birds of a feather flock together news, Jeffrey Epstein, kept labeled photos of nude underage girls in his Manhattan mansion, court documents reveal.
What?
So this dude, and Trump are boys. Apparently Trump is pretty close with a lot of, sex trafficker types. I mean, it was that spa in, Florida that, the owner for the Patriots got caught up, and Trump is friends with the owner for the Patriots, and he took a picture with the owner of the spa.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah. And then there's this. He's a notorious friend of President Donald Trump. He's reportedly been arrested. Billionaire pedophile Jeffrey Epstein was arrested for allegedly sex trafficking dozens of minors in New York and Florida between 2002 and 2005, and he will appear in court in New York on Monday, according to 3 law enforcement sources. The arrest comes about 12 years after the 66-year-old financier essentially got a slap on the wrist for allegedly molesting dozens of underage girls in Florida. Yeah, and that was done by Alexander Acosta, who's Trump's labor secretary right now.
What?
He was the person that negotiated a plea deal for Epstein without notifying the victims.
Wow.
Right. They all kick it together. The new charges allege that Epstein sexually exploited dozens of underage girls in a now familiar scheme, paying them cash for massages and then molesting or sexually abusing them in his Upper East Side mansion or his palatial residence in Palm Beach. Several employees and associates allegedly recruited the girls for Epstein's abuse, and some victims eventually became recruiters themselves. According to law enforcement, the girls were as young as 14. Epstein knew they were underage, according to the police. The only reason they things they found is out is because somebody snitching. But he had employees that handled this as well. Jail. And this is why I'm not a prison abolitionist. And you won't see anyone make the case for prison abolition based off of this nigga right here, because we only do that for the people that we empathize with and we like. And everybody should be for less jail for the people that we can kind of empathize with and feel like, yo, that person, what they did was not that egregious. But some of these niggas have to go. He one of them. Bye. And I will never feel bad about feeling that way, ever. I depart ways with you niggas on this one. Go. Get the fuck out of here. And everybody who helped him too. And R. Kelly and his crew too. And Bill Cosby and the people that helped him. All these motherfuckers can go. This shit is egregious, and it goes on for years, and something like this can only happen through coordinated, willful effort.
Right, because there's too many victims.
It's a conspiracy to do these things. And then, oh God, I'm sorry. I keep going on that tangent, but it's because you see this shit, and it insists me so much this week, and I was just like, that's not even real what y'all are doing right now, because y'all only bring it up in very convenient times like this, but no one wants to talk about it in the inconvenient times, because all of us will go, no, this dude cannot be around other people. There are children out here in the world, and we can't have a nigga like this just out here with access to them. No. And he's not just gonna stop because he was told to. The nigga he got a plea deal 15 years ago, and guess what he went back to doing? Fuck. And then, you know, everybody's like, oh, we need to do restorative justice that centers the victims first and shit. It's like, nigga, what if I'm a victim and I want this nigga dead? That's my justice.
right? Now we can't listen to me because that's not hippy dippy enough, right? Now we got to come up with another solution and shit, because I'm too mad. I got to forgive this nigga or let it go or let y'all decide that my shit is too harsh. Fuck that.
That's why you got high lows.
You do some shit to me, you got, nah, fuck, anyway, enough. Trump's labor secretary Alexander Acosta has been accused of violating federal law when he negotiated the plea deal without notifying the victims. In an era where Me Too is top of powerful man, Epstein's name was largely absent from the national conversation until the Miami Herald published a three-part series on how his wealth, power, and influence shielded him from federal prosecution.
A three-part series? Good God.
Shout out to real journalism.
Real journalism.
This is why we still need it.
Right. Who, what, when, where, why, and how. We got it, y'all.
It costs money. It costs time.
Yes, it does.
It's skilled labor.
It costs effort.
But it can topple a fucking mountain if it's done correct. Meanwhile, the financier has flitted among his homes in Palm Beach, New York, and Virgin Islands, as well as the secluded Zorro Ranch in Stanley, New Mexico, transporting young women on his private jet to facilitate the sexual abuse that's gone unchecked by authorities, as alleged victims say. But yeah, they arrested him, and then they went in his home and found he kept labeled photos of underage girls in his Manhattan mansion.
Labeled?
Yep, labeled. It doesn't seem like it was very much of a secret. I know they have quotes from Donald Trump talking about how dude likes young girls and shit like that. So, yeah, they discovered at least hundreds and perhaps thousands of sexually suggested photographs of fully or partially nude females. While these items were only seized this weekend and are being reviewed, some of the nude or partially nude photographs appear to be of underage girls, including at least one girl who, according to her counsel, was underage at the time the relevant photographs were taken. Didn't even get rid of this evidence. That's how safe he felt. Even after the plea deal, he had 15 years to be like, I'm not gonna do this anymore. I could go to prison, or at least let me cover my tracks. And he didn't do either. Additionally, some of the photographs referenced herein were discovered in a lock safe in which law enforcement officers also found compact discs with handwritten labels, including following young, name plus name, miscellaneous news, and girls pics nude. Prosecutor said Epstein has not reformed, nor has he chastened or repentant following his listen, we don't have anywhere we need to put him. We'll just talk to him and hopefully he'll get it the third time's charm, is what I always say. Following his previous arrest and controversial plea agreement in Florida case, which allowed him to avoid prison, the wealthy financier was arrested on sex trafficking charges Saturday. So, and that's Trump's homeboy. That's the motherfucker y'all put in the White House. Cause that was okay with you. This schemy, skeezy, sleazy ass nigga was
and then
okay.
People wonder why he didn't give a fuck about those children out
at the border. At least he didn't wear a tan suit, Karen. I think that's what's most important. Okay?
At least his wife's shoulders ain't out.
Yeah. We can't deal with that. Alright, white people news. Let's try to go out on a high note here, guys. Alright. Ariana Grande. Yeah, that's right. I'm still saying it right. That's the way we're supposed to pronounce it. Y'all remember that? Mm-hmm. Ariana Grande on a short-lived Pete Davidson engagement. I didn't know him.
Oh, shit.
Wow. She continues to copy Mariah Carey. I don't know her. She didn't know him. I mean, damn. She also opened up about her all-consuming grief following Mac Miller's death from an accidental overdose. I was the glue for such a long time, and I found myself becoming less and less sticky. The pieces just started to float away. Ariana Grande emotionally reflected on her past relationships with Mac Miller and Pete Davidson in a profile for Vogue. The singer opened up about her headlining set during 2019 Coachella Music Festival. During the interview, she said that her involvement in the festival gave her frequent reminders of her ex-boyfriend Miller. The rapper died from accidental overdose in 2018 at the age of 26. I never thought I'd even go to Coachella, she admitted in the profile. I was always a person who never went to festivals and never went out and had fun like that. But the first time I went was to see Malcolm perform, and it was such an incredible experience. I went the second year as well, and I associate heavily. It was kind of a mind fuck processing how much has happened in such a brief period. She also said she's used the writing and production process of her album Thank You Next as a coping mechanism to deal with Miller's death and her broken engagement with Pete Davidson.
I'm gonna tell you right now, shout out to What's the Tea. They was talking about her and I went back. Thank You Next is a goddamn bop. Mm-hmm. That whole album goes.
My friends know how much solace music brings me, so I think it was an all around let's get her there type situation. She said recording the album with her friends. So yeah, she talked about dating Pete Davidson, but if I'm completely honest, I don't remember those three months of my life because I was so drunk and so sad. I don't really remember how it started or how it finished or how all of a sudden there were 10 songs on the board. I think that this is the first album and also the first year of my life where I'm realizing that I can no longer be put off spending time with myself just as me. I've been booed up my entire adult life. I've always had someone to say goodnight to, so thank you next was this moment of self-realization. It was the scary moment of wow, you have to face all this stuff now, no more distractions, you have to heal all this shit. She also explained a tweet that she posted following her breakup with Miller in May 2018. While many internet users shame Grandy for breaking up with Miller while he battled his addictions, she defended herself online by tweeting, "Shaming and blaming a woman for a man's inability to keep his shit together is a very major problem. Let's stop doing that.
Come on,
people don't see any of the real stuff that happened, so they are loud about what they think happened. They didn't see the years of work and fighting and trying or love and exhaustion. That tweet came from a place of complete defeat, and you have no idea how many times I warned him that would happen and fought that fight for how many years of our friendship, of our relationship." She said now about her initial response, "You have no idea, so you're not allowed to pull that card because you don't fucking know." That's where that came from. Yeah, I mean, these celebrities are fucking people, man. And like, it's crazy that there are people in this world that listen to Mac Miller's music, didn't know him, right? This woman dated him,
intimate with him,
was his friend, and then you go, "You're not allowed to feel how you feel because my feelings supersede the way you feel."
He has a fan.
Even though it happened to you. It happened to you. You're going to his funeral. Like, you're like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you dealt with, you saw him at his worst. You dealt with whatever comes along with addiction, which can be ugly.
It can.
But I listened to all his albums, so bitch, fuck you. It's your fault. It's insanity. And then we expect these people not to react to it.
Right. You know, and the thing is, with her, not that she's perfect, not that she hadn't done things that people have problems with. But some of the criticism she get is, it doesn't make sense. Right. Anything that she does attached to a man, she automatically get blamed for it. Even when she was up on the stage and that preach dude was
filling up on her.
People blamed her and what she had on. No, keep your goddamn hands to yourself.
All right, you supposed to be a man of God, you fake ass man of God. But yeah, you know, it is interesting. I love these profiles on celebrities sometimes when it's like this, because you know what happens is people come in with their preconceived notions. Mm-hmm. And the way that we view fame through this like weird prism where we just can't see them as human. But I really like these moments because I try to stop imagining them as like a celebrity and just think about them as a person and be like, yo, this is a lot to go through.
Mm-hmm.
This is not an old person. She's still fairly young.
In her early 20s.
I don't know what her age is, but I'm saying she's, you know, like Mac Miller's 20, died at 26. You know, we're not talking about the sage wisdom of ages and shit. They mm-hmm. might not have it all together the way you think you have it all together at 40 or 35 or whatever the fuck you are.
And shit, some of us still ain't got it all
together. Right, right. The way, like I said, think. The way a lot of us think we have it together, you're one thing away from everything could be fucked up.
Right.
People that have never dealt with a problem like this being like, this is how you're supposed to deal with it. You don't fucking know. But yeah, and then of course their online experience and all this shit and the paparazzi, I'm sure it's just a lot.
Mm-hmm.
She added she spent most of the relationship worrying about Miller. It's pretty all consuming, she said, about her grief from his past, and by no means was what we had perfect, but like, fuck, he was the best person ever. He didn't deserve the demons he had. I was a glue for such a long time, and I found myself becoming less and less sticky. The pieces just started floating away. Also, can y'all imagine, like, how many of us get to privately have issues and grieve privately, and there's no expectation for us to ever one day come out and give the story?
Mm-mm.
How many friends have you watched, like, via social media or whatever, via in real life, in person, go through like serious, like they get divorced, they never gonna have a moment where they gotta come out and, okay guys, I know you got questions, let me tell you,
nobody's expecting that.
I did the best that I could and I respect this, and they don't, regular people don't do this.
you know, but there's also no expectation, like, you're allowed to not. You don't want to ever talk about your first wife? Okay. We don't ever have to talk about her. You good? You know? With this shit, it's like, nah, you gotta explain to us how the fuck you tweeted one thing during the years and years of shit you dealt with Mac Miller.
Right, you owe us.
You tweeted one time, so explain that moment, that momentary, like, reflection of realness that you had. We, like, justify that real quick.
Right, and that person will be wrong if they be like, fuck y'all, kiss my ass.
Right. So, that's crazy, man. And yeah, they talked about the fling with Davidson. She said, then I met Pete and it was an amazing distraction. It was frivolous and fun, insane and highly unrealistic, and I loved him and I didn't know him. I'm like an infant when it comes to real life, and this old soul been around the block a million times artist, I still don't trust myself with life stuff. So
yeah, that's real. That's part of growing up.
Yeah, also, I mean, coming also what they did mention, coming off that terrorist bombing of her concert.
Right, she had people die, that's right.
Right, Mac Miller's death. Pete, who also struggles with, like, issues of addiction and some mental health stuff. Man, I can see how that could all just be a lot, man. Like, just this overwhelming, like, what am I supposed to do with all this? You know, and yeah. And then obviously the fishbowl of fame and everything that pushed you through too. Yeah. Olivia Munn cancels Today interview to avoid questions on scandals. Olivia Munn, who you guys may know as Psylocke from X-Men Apocalypse, pulled out of an interview with the Today show at the last minute because she didn't want to face awkward questions about a number of scandals. It's not clear exactly what topic the actress was keen to avoid, but she recently made headlines for different reasons. Her dog walking app, WAG, has been responsible for a number of missing and dead dogs.
Oh, shit!
Oh, Olivia. Oh, my. She wrote a much-mocked essay naming and shaming fashion bloggers, and she got a lot of attention last week after she said in an interview that she broke out in hives after accusing Brett Ratner of sexual misconduct. Sources tell Page Six that Munn was booked on the NBC show last week after another guest dropped out, but after producers said they couldn't promise she wouldn't be quizzed about any of the thorny issues during her interview, she pulled the plug. In June, Munn, who was an investor and spokesperson in the WAG app, got personally involved in a search for a dog that was stolen by one of the app's walkers. It was later found, and on Monday, a lawsuit claimed the dog had been killed while in the care of a WAG walker who allegedly tried to cover up the accident after he killed it. Oh, the accident that killed it. What?
What is happening?
This motherfucker covered up a dog murder? See, now this is why we need Scooby-Doo on the case.
Come on, Scooby-Doo in the gang.
Meanwhile, Munn also caused a stir in April when she penned an excoriating essay about the fashion blog Go Fug Yourself, but called the site hypocritical and sexist for criticizing her fashion choices. The rant was variously called bizarre, problematic, and wrong by fashion press, and the Go Fug Yourself writers received overwhelming support online. That, you know, I will say this though. Fashion is the last place right now that even the wokes have decided you can be a piece of shit to people.
You can be downright nasty.
I've never understood it and I don't get it. Mm-mm. And I'm not saying just fashion, but just that culture of, like, you can drag someone to smithereens about what they put on at an award show or something and you're still considered a nice person. And we're not, and you, and any other time you're out here, like, empathy this, empathy that, you know,
don't shame, as far
bullying
as
weight, this, bullying, right, that. Yeah, don't shame weight, don't shame body, don't shame this. Any other time you are no fun allowed, but boy, these fucking award red carpets.
I see the comments. I mean I'm here for the jokes, don't get me wrong, but for some people are just flat out just mean.
Yeah, so I can see how she might be like, damn, y'all, this is fucked up the way y'all talking about my clothes and my body and shit. And yeah, that industry was gonna come together and be like, bitch, we get to talk about you however the fuck we want
because it ain't them.
Yeah. Yeah. And then what's funny is Page Six, the people that wrote this, added our two cents to the debate by declining to mention either her outfit at a recent premiere or the name of the show she was promoting. So yeah, it's their way of being like, we're doing you the favor, us saying that you look like a you look like a piece of shit tonight. At least when we say that, we also promote that you're in the upcoming Showtime comedy. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah, we said you walked out of the house looking like you had dressed yourself in a sausage casing, but what we also said was that your show comes on at 9 p.m. on Fridays. Now, which do you want, bitch? Jesus. Then in the days before her scheduled Today appearance, Munn garnered widespread attention for an interview in Women's Health in which she said she suffered an all-over body rash after accusing Brett Ratner of misconduct in 2017. Ratner has denied her allegations. So, damn. Olivia Munn going through it. Who knew? It's always bad when you got canceled the morning show interviews because, you know, them motherfuckers don't be doing no hard interviews. Mm-mm. Morning show interviews is all like, you know.
Good morning, Charlotte, North Carolina. It's bright and early today.
You want to see us chop up some waffles? We're bringing in Chef Jones.
Yeah, for real, that's what it is.
So how do you make waffles here?
You want to have a flat tummy? We're gonna have somebody do some exercise right. For you. Show you how to get them knees right.
They was gonna hear Olivia Munn with them hard hitting questions, huh? So you kill dogs, huh?
But like, it ain't even 9 a.m. How we get here?
Olivia Munn's here to promote a new show about killing dogs. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. Went to the beach and I have pictures. I'll bring them up on my screen, Karen. I know.
Okay.
It was taking a second.
You know I'm here for the pics.
I know. This is one of the best parts of White People News. Katy Perry and Orlando Bloom. Man, who would thought they'd still be together, huh?
Right.
Apparently, she wore a floral swimsuit and he was shirtless as they relaxed on the French beach. Oh, fiance, they got engaged. Okay.
Oh shit.
They're reportedly set to tie the knot in a romantic ceremony later this year.
She done got a little thick, ain't she?
I mean, she always been kind of thick, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, she gained a little bit more weight,
but yes, that's good for her. Good for you, girl. Okay. After excitedly announcing that they become engaged on Valentine's Day, Katy Perry, 34, Orlando Bloom, 42, looked every inch the happy couple on Monday as they were spotted soaking up the sunshine together on the breathtaking beaches of Isla de Rey. Now that shit got a mad, like, all kinds of, like, commas all over the place. So I know I pronounced that wrong.
Where is it? You said in France.
Yeah. Isla de Rey. I don't know.
They probably named after some bread or some
Isla de Rey. Back up. An exclusive imagines, that's right, the Daily Mail doesn't do a lot of editing, an exclusive images obtained by
this is why you need editors, they serve a purpose,
obtained by Mail Online. Katy is seen wearing a white floral bikini as she strolls aside the golden shores of the island located off the west coast of France before joining her shirtless beau in the ocean, looking as stylish as ever in her flattering halter neck number. California native Katy wore her bleach blonde locks in a close crop style while accessorizing with large hoop earrings and a pair of fashionable sunglasses. Orlando displayed his toned and tan physique as he waded into the blue water shirtless, wearing just a navy blue pair of swimming shorts after peeling off his top. Sources told Mail Online that the lovebirds, who spend most of their time together in Los Angeles, jetted over to France to enjoy some vacation time with British heartthrob Orlando's family. And there she is. Now see, this is when I really be believing they call the paparazzi.
Yeah, they
like,
had to.
You know what I'm saying? Like how she posing and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like, look, okay, it's been a slow day. I'm not in the news as much. I need to get out here and...
Yeah, they actually called. I'm over here at this time, show up.
Yeah, I gotta set the gram on fire. Like this, they the only two niggas at this beach. You know? I feel you though. You know, whatever it takes, man, you gotta stay relevant, man. This game is cold.
Mm-hmm.
You ain't putting out some work or something, man. Ain't nobody talking about your ass. I don't blame you. But yeah, that was them at the beach. Let's see who else is out here in these streets. These white people news streets. Oh, our girl Kris Jenner.
Mm-hmm.
63 holds hands with Corey Gamble. 38.
Mm-hmm.
Hung with a snapper. Still wet behind the ears.
Come on, still got that Similac.
During a picturesque Portofino break. So yeah, she's still with that nigga, man. Like, Corey, you know, we don't talk enough about that dude. Corey Gamble is,
he the longest hanging one.
He's scamming goals.
Come on!
Okay? He is a kept man. Okay? While the price of the dick has gone down, my man Corey Gamble is not worried about the dick stock market.
Mm-mm.
Or as I like to call it, the cock market.
Ha!
I just came up with that. The cock market is plummeting today.
If you got stock in cock, sell it, sell it, sell it.
Sell high. Okay, get out of the cock game. The Dow Bones is low. All right, that's enough. Kris Jenner, 63. Yeah, I said that far. Sorry. She's been enjoying everything with her idyllic Italian, everything the idyllic Italian village has to offer while on vacation with her beau. They fuck a boat, don't they?
Mm-hmm.
And Kris, or her buck in this case, and Kris Jenner looked very joyful as she was hand in hand with Corey Gamble during their romantic evening stroll.
Of course, honey. They he in there breaking her back. That's a big difference in age. He full of energy.
Yeah, I know to be having that black.com sex.
Come on.
Oh, man.
Shout out to people that know what that is.
Right. Shout out to the big cock bully. Okay, guys. The momager, 63, put her black swimsuit on display in a sheer lace dress as she enjoyed a date night with her love, 38, on holiday. In true Kardashian fashion, the reality star accessorized with circular sunglasses adorned with gems and a huge statement earrings. The businesswoman was in full holiday mode as she sauntered through the streets in golden strappy sandals. As the night began to set in, the lovebirds stayed close to one another and held each other's hands while exploring the village. Yep, he know not to let go of that money.
Mm-mm.
Every picture, he like,
girl, money bag.
Holding your hand, okay? I know that nigga ain't had to reach for his wallet in so long.
Right?
He probably lose his mind, he had to reach for his wallet.
Probably have to blow dust off that bitch.
That's probably a joke. The check comes, she be like, you get this Corey? And they both laugh. Oh, darling. Of course not. Never.
Why would I?
You will get this dick later tonight. I know that much. It comes after Khloe spoke about how she was 203 pounds when she gave birth to her daughter, True Thompson, in April 8, 2018. She continued to explain that she taped the show that it was working out simultaneously trying to get her pre-baby body back. She felt as though she was going through her own revenge body journey, and Kris couldn't appear proud of her third eldest daughter, saying she was proud while she come.
Oh.
She said, I think they're lucky to have you, and they're going to learn something along the way. I love you, and I'm so proud of you. Meanwhile, Kris with her youngest daughter, Callie, changes every few years. The reality star matriarch reveals she is always there for Callie, who gave birth to her own daughter, Stormy, 17 months ago. As their friendship evolves, it told the July-August issue of Bazaar Arabia. Man, they stay in the press, dog. They the best.
Come on.
I'm at this press game shit, obviously. Like the press game. I don't really fuck with them, but they are the best at this press game shit, man. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
They always saying something about you.
They can sell the most mundane shit.
And it will fucking sell out, whatever it is.
Kris Jenner drinks orange juice this morning.
That brand will sell out.
Yep, on sale now. So, yep. I know a lot of people hate these white women, but just try to leave all their black children out of it, please, guys.
The children didn't ask to be here.
The children is not the children's fault.
Mm-mm.
And if I know you savages on the internet, y'all are gonna hate them kids sooner or later too.
Right. When the second they stop being cute.
Y'all not gonna be able to stop yourselves because the hate is too strong. Oh, it's sad, but it's true.
They're not adorable no more.
It's sad, but it's true, dog. They cannot help themselves, man. They be like, oh man, oh man, God. Taylor Swift just called out Scooter Braun, Justin Bieber, Kim Kardashian, Kanye West, and more in a heartbreaking post. But nobody I know cares, because Taylor Swift is a white woman, and I posted this shit. I'm sorry.
People don't like her.
I posted this shit, and people was like, yeah, I would have her back on this, because this is sad when anybody, you know, does it on their masters, and she's made such great music, but we found out how she really was on that phone call with Kim Kardashian and Kanye West. And I was like, it's good to see, because multiple people said it. And I said, you know what? It's good to finally see you black people taking up for Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. Who would have thought? Who would have thought?
Them agendas.
Is that what it took to get y'all back on board with that train?
Them agendas.
I thought it was burning hell to all these people. Mm-hmm. I didn't know.
They dislike her more than they dislike them.
It's the one time that everybody was like, I know he said make America great again, but okay, allow me to defend this coon, okay? In that case, specifically, Your Honor.
Like, no other exceptions but this one.
Oh, man. That shit was so good. Oh, because yeah, you know what it is, man. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, but I was like, y'all been getting y'all feelings about these white folks. I don't care. Probably because half of them I don't remember.
Yeah, anymore. I don't. Yeah, I also don't care. You know what it is, though, with Taylor Swift that I find to be infinitely hilarious? For the most part, I don't think she really has done anything that's truly that fucked up.
Mm-mm.
But once the fucking momentum steamrolls online and the right people don't like you and it's like everything you do, they're gonna find a way to be like, this is fucked up.
Everything.
It just don't matter. And she is the ultimate white woman. She's the ultimate white woman. So it just, she don't ever get to have any, there's no thing she gets to have.
Mm-mm.
And in this case, you know, she felt betrayed by other artists. Because, you know, they were involved in, her not being able to get her the rights to all her music. She was gonna buy it.
Right.
Which a lot of artists have done.
Yes, they have.
You know, you make music, you make money, and eventually you go back and you get your masters. Mm-hmm. Nipsey Hussle was famous and telling people to own their own masters and shit like that. She said, for years I asked and pleaded for a chance to own my work. Instead, I was given an opportunity to sign back up to Big Machine Records and earn one album back at a time, one for every new one I turned in. I walked away because I knew once I signed that contract, Scott Borchetta would sell the label, thereby selling me in my future. I had to make the excruciating choice to leave behind my past. Music I wrote in my bedroom, on my bedroom floor, and videos I dreamed up and paid for from the money I earned playing in bars and clubs and arenas and stadiums. I learned about Scooter Braun's purchase of my masters as it was announced to the world. All I could think about was the incessant manipulative bullying I received at his hands for years. Like when Kim Kardashian orchestrated an illegally recorded snippet of a phone call to be leaked. And then Scooter got his two clients together to bully me online about it. Or when his client, Kanye West, organized a revenge porn music video which strips my body naked. Yeah, nobody care because nobody around me care because it's Taylor Swift.
Right.
I mean, it's fucked up. It is fucked up. And if it was somebody we liked, people would absolutely be at least making the case of like, yeah, but they surreptitiously illegally recorded that phone call. You know, I still remember people being like, and then the video where they had like a body double of her and it was him and a bunch of people he didn't like naked and shit, Bill Cosby. It was just a bunch of weird shit in that video. People would have been like, this is massage noir shit. Nigga, she is a white woman, and last time I checked, you are not supposed to have sympathy for them in these corners of the internet. So she just kind of ass out among, you know, the people I know. But I mean, it's just funny to me that that's the way it shook out, because I don't know, I don't really have a lot of hate for her or love. She just seemed like a regular white woman. She's like a regular degular ass white woman. I mean, not saying she's not talented, I'm not trying to say that. It just, she just literally just doesn't do it for me in any way of like angering me or making me have emotional connections to her. She just seems kind of like a petty white woman that is a diva in her white way.
Agreed.
Crazy, man. And to think this all started from Kanye going on stage and stripping her of her award, saying Beyonce deserved it. And now Kanye and Beyonce and Jay can't even hang out. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Man, the world crazy.
It's changed a lot, ain't it?
Yep. Good luck. And yeah, that just seems like it sucks. You know, and of course, it really sucks, and it's really ironic for her specifically, because, like I said, say what you want to about it. She was on the ground floor of artists, rebelling against the streaming industry. She was one of the first people to be like, nah, fuck that shit. Like, y'all not about to, I'm about to take my power back as an artist. Which, she obviously doesn't get a lot of credit for.
Mm-mm.
Anyway, watch Miley Cyrus bring out Lil Nas X, Billy Ray Cyrus for Old Town Road and Glastonbury 2019. So I guess during her performance, she brought out Billy Ray, her daddy, and Lil Nas X to perform Old Town Road.
Oh, and Lil Nas X came out. He's gay. I don't know if we mentioned it before on the show.
I don't think we did.
So he's not just a black artist with the number one song in the world. He's also a gay artist. Eat that, world. I love what he's... I love he was talking about Twitter, where they're talking about like him being bullied for being gay and the backlash to it. He was like, I ain't really experienced no backlash, and I'm a grown ass man, so fuck y'all gonna do. I was like, like that boy. He might only have one hit, but I hope he can stay around.
Mm-hmm. Hope he one hit one of that shit to death. It's yep. Still number one up at the top of the chart.
Yeah, it's number one. It's number one. Mm-hmm. And Lizzo went into the top 10 this week.
Go ahead on.
So, yep. I hope that motherfucker stay around. That dude seemed pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right, that's enough of that, guys. Okay, it's enough white people news. Let's get into the final segment, Sword Ratchetness, and get out of here. North Carolina woman armed with a sword steals $150 from the dry cleaner.
Oh shit.
Police said a North Carolina woman was arrested Tuesday after demanding money from a dry cleaner while wielding an 18-inch sword. According to arrest warrants, Chloe Marie Martinez, 23, robbed Crowns Crescent Commons dry cleaner in Cary of $150 in cash and threatened the owner with an 18-inch sword. Martinez has been charged with robbery with a dangerous weapon. And that's the sword ratchetness.
Up there near Raleigh.
And that's the way the news goes. All right, y'all, that's it for today. We are probably taking tomorrow off, I'm not gonna lie, and Thursday is gonna be Balls Deep Sports. So, and then of course feedback show will be Saturday for yes. Everyone. So if we don't talk to you tomorrow, we'll talk to you Saturday. You know, unless something happens and we feel like doing the show, we'll do it. Mm-hmm. But these shows have been long this week, hopefully, so you guys enjoyed it. So until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.